Mr. Sopti?
If it pleases the court. Yes, good morning, Your Honors. Judge, in this case, it's very clear that the respondent entered the United States in 2004, and then in 2013 is when the NTA was issued and filed. As a result, the 10 years at that time did not accrue for this respondent petitioner. So he was not eligible at the time for cancellation. We had the law of NIS or Pereira been available to him, or Singh versus Garland, or any of the new cases that have come out in the past 2 years. So had those cases been available, the respondent would have been able to do cancellation removal, apply for cancellation removal, and pursue that angle of relief. So we're asking that the court allow him to be back in the position he was in had those rules existed, and that would be that there's no stop time issue here because the NTA is defective. And thus, he now wishes to go back, and the case should be remanded to the board. Insofar as any equitable tolling or any other arguments like that raised by the government, they would be dismissed because this is more like a notice issue and a changed circumstance issue because of the law change. And the law being all changed completely in multiple directions, both from the board, circuit courts, and the Supreme Court, in favor of the respondent. Obviously, some board decisions are not in his favor, but the Ninth Circuit and the Supreme Court are in his favor with the cases that I've just discussed, and therefore I ask that the court remand this to the board for those issues. Thank you, Your Honors.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's hear from the government.
May it please the court. My name is Jesse Lorenz, and I represent the Attorney General of the United States. This court should deny this petition for review. As an initial matter, petitioner waives review of two dispositive reasons the board denied his motion to reopen. In particular, he does not, in his opening brief, challenge the board's determination declining to toll the filing deadline for his motion to reopen, or the board's alternative conclusion that even if timely, his motion was not, as required, supported by new or previously unavailable evidence. These determinations are both independently dispositive of his motion to reopen, and for this reason, the court may deny this petition for review on waiver grounds alone.
Let me ask you a question, please.
Sure.
I'm looking at the board's decision. The first full paragraph on page 2, where it states, moreover, we note that the assertions made by the respondent in his motion that the NTA did not vest jurisdiction to the immigration court nor trigger the stop time rule for cancellation of removal are foreclosed by two decisions issued by the board in August of 2018 and May of 2019. And then it goes into at least one of those decisions saying this intervening decision forecloses the respondent's argument that he has the requisite minimum of 10 years of continuous physical presence in the US and is eligible for cancellation of removal. Do you agree that those statements are legally incorrect in light of Pereira and Ms. Chavez?
Well, at the time, they were correct. And I would say as initial threshold matter, he has to, because his motion to reopen is on time.
But you agree they are legally incorrect in light of Pereira and Ms. Chavez, correct?
Well, I would say now, I mean, he does have an argument regarding the 10 years for continuous physical presence in light of Ms. Chavez. But again, this court allowed him a chance to file a supplemental brief on that issue, and he did not respond to that order. So I think any argument towards Ms. Chavez should be considered abandoned by this court. I mean, he didn't respond, but given the opportunity to. I mean, I think there's, again, the threshold issue here is because his motion to reopen.
But he argued the point in his opening brief that the law changed such that he now met the 10 years continuous presence requirement for cancellation, correct?
Well, when he filed his opening brief, Ms. Chavez hadn't been issued yet, and the law was actually not in his favor at that time. At that time, the board precedent was that the continuous physical presence could be terminated by a subsequently filed hearing note specifying the date, time, and place of the hearing. Now, I'm not arguing that law is still good law. That has been overruled by Ms. Chavez, which is clear that the 10-year period is only triggered by an NTA that specifies the date, time, and place of the hearing. But that being said, he was afforded the opportunity to respond to this court's order regarding Ms. Chavez, and he did not take that opportunity. I would also note that, again, the threshold matter here is the timeliness of his motion to reopen. If he doesn't show that timing deadline should be forgiven, there's nothing for the, else for this court to consider, really. I mean, he didn't try to file or satisfy any statutory exceptions to the filing deadline. He didn't attempt to satisfy any regulatory exception. All he's got left is equitable tolling.
But where is the requirement that someone has to file a motion to reopen based on a legally foreclosed argument? He should have filed back in, 2014, when the original, am I getting my dates right? Sorry, there are so many cases today. But, he didn't have that argument. The IJ decision was March 20th of 2014. Appeal to the BIA was dismissed July 16, 2015. He didn't have these arguments available to him because Pereira was 2018 and Ms. Chavez was 2021.
Well, I think I guess I'm unclear
on why is someone obligated to file a motion to reopen based on, at the time, what would be potentially legally frivolous grounds.
Sure, the statute is very clear that a motion to reopen must be filed within 90 days to be untimely. And there are certain statutory exceptions. And there's no statutory exception for a change in case law. Now, he could ask for sua sponte reopening, or he could ask for equitable tolling of the filing deadline, but the board concluded that he didn't show an exceptional circumstance. Now, I would note the Supreme Court cases in Abudu and Daugherty,
their basis for finding that he didn't show the circumstances necessary for equitable tolling, you would concede they were based on legal propositions that are totally invalid now after Pereira and Ms. Chavez.
No, I disagree with that, Your Honor, because mm-hmm. I think the second page of the board's decision, I think, is can be separated from the first page. The first page is all about equitable tolling. And now if you look at the case they cite, that Crosby case in the Supreme Court basically says that a change in case law subsequent to a closed proceeding isn't necessarily an extraordinary circumstance justifying equitable tolling. And I think the Supreme Court—
But you're not saying that was a categorical rule, are you? Are you saying that's a categorical rule, that it can never?
I'm not saying it can never. Equitable tolling is kind of a very discretionary determination. I mean, it essentially is an end around of the rules that say a motion to reopen must be filed within 90 days. That statutory rule, there is equitable tolling to it, but he has to show under Supreme Court precedent extreme circumstance. And all I'm saying here is that he hasn't demonstrated that. And I would note this court's law regarding the stop time rule wasn't foreclosed against him until 2015 when Moscoso Castellano was issued. Before that, there was kind of an open question because this court had case law that was kind of not contradicting, but dealt with different things in different contexts. So it wasn't entirely clear. And also, I would say people have been raising challenges to the board's precedent in the matter of Camarillo. That's why we ended up with Pereira. That's why we ended up with Ms. Chavez. So these issues could have been raised. He just did not raise them until well after the fact. And I think the statute, if anything, favors finality in these proceedings. That's why motions to reopen, the Supreme Court has held that you have a heavy burden to show reopening, especially where it's untimely. You have to then satisfy that threshold issue. And I just don't think he's presented really anything here to satisfy that. And again, he's waived these issues before this court. His brief only discusses the case law of Pereira. It doesn't discuss him satisfying any exception to this timeliness rule. And that's really where the crux of this case falls, I think.
Would you agree that the board's decision was factually wrong about the unavailability of his marriage that took place 3 months after the immigration judge's order?
Well, again, the board, while his appeal was pending before the board, he got married. Then subsequent to that appeal being denied, he filed a motion to reconsider. He was married at that time. It was then, because he's filing another motion to reopen, or a motion to reopen outside of the filing deadline, he has to show that there's some new or previously unavailable evidence. This apparently was a long-going relationship. And in 2018, it was on him to demonstrate that this evidence was new or previously unavailable. I think specifically the hardship evidence, it's hard for him to show that here because of the nature of their relationship. And according to him, this isn't really a new medical or condition for his partner or spouse, I should say.
But so if you again, look at his motion to reopen before the board, he specifically raised his marriage and provided exceptional and extremely unusual hardship, letters of support, and other documentation, right?
Right, and I'm not saying he didn't provide that, but it was his burden to show that was new or previously not available. And I don't think he did that because he didn't show that it wasn't available to him when he was before the immigration judge in 2014 or before the board. I mean, his appeal was pending before the board for—
Okay, wait, how could he show, you know, the immigration judge's decision was what, March 20th of 2014? He gets married June 13th of 2014?
No, I guess my point is—
You're saying a marriage that hadn't happened yet and wouldn't happen for 3 months should have been still presented to the immigration judge? I'm just a little bit unclear on that.
My point is that while his case was pending before the board, he got married, right? So he could have filed a motion to remand at that time. Subsequent to the board's decision, he had been married for a while at that point. He filed a motion to reconsider subsequent to the board's initial decision. He didn't bring up that evidence at that time either. Not until 2018 did he bring up that evidence. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make.
Okay, I'm looking at two different Ninth Circuit decisions rejecting the government's argument that information was previously available because it became available during the pendency of the appeal to the BIA, Bhasin, B-H-A-S-I-N versus Gonzalez.
Okay.
432 F3rd 977, pin site is 987. The case is from 2005. Joel, G-O-E-L versus Gonzalez, 490 F3rd 735, pin site is 738. Evidence concerning events that did not occur until after the immigration judge hearing qualifies as previously unavailable. So what I'm a little bit unclear on what your argument is regarding him getting married after the immigration judge's hearing.
Sure. I guess my point is that the evidence, it was his burden to show, was new or previously unavailable. And I don't think he's made any arguments to that effect in this motion. And I would say, again, as a threshold matter, is the motion's untimely. He had to show that equitable tolling was warranted. And that evidence doesn't go to equitable tolling. So at the end of the day, I think the important takeaway is that the motion to reopen is untimely. The statute and the Supreme Court case law favors finality. He didn't look for a statutory or regulatory exception. He needed to ask for equitable tolling, and the board acted with its discretion in declining to do that. If there's no further questions, Your Honors, I think that the court should deny this petition for review.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Softy? He's still on the phone? Mr. Sopte, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Do you wish to add anything to your argument today?
No, Judge. I'll submit.
All right. Thank you very much. The matter is submitted. I thank both sides for your argument.